It's a privilege, obviously, to get to share with the family. I don't know if you've been here most of the weeks that we've gone through the book of James, but it's been incredible. I've been so impressed. That's Amy Becker. Amy and Rocky, what? You guys are just like a hidden treasure. I thought, no, seriously, they've been witness out there just out in China working with kids, and we thought that's great, and that's what missionaries do. But I had no idea these were preachers. They were theologians, actually. Good on you. Good on you. Thank you. And so it's been great to get to be a part of kind of that team. And as Pastor Matt mentioned, we're going to wrap it up. Last two verses, actually. I was very thankful. He might have just given me the one last verse, and that had been a little harder to handle. But actually, if you'll let me, I want to start with the first two or three verses of the book and see if we can't tie that together with the last couple of verses. I've tried and get into somebody else's head. I tried that over the last week. So I'm trying to understand Pastor James. He actually teaches and talks more like a father than he does a preacher. And actually, he teaches more like a trainer. Now, how many of you ever trained for like a sport? I know Pastor Matt has. Many of you have. Trainers talk to you differently than advisors do or teachers do. You can read a book. You can read a manual. I learned how to fly airplanes years ago against my better judgment. But it turned out to be, it was my wife's idea. It really was. And this is before we had called to missions and flying all over the place. But I didn't like flying because I was afraid of flying. I didn't like the sensations. So finally, after about 6 months, she bought me this introductory lesson that sat on my dresser for 6 months or so. Finally, just because I was a cheapskate, I decided to take the flight. You know what I find out? You have to work really hard to get an airplane to fall out of the sky. You have to do at least three major things wrong. They don't just fly out. And the more I learned about how the mechanics of a plane worked, the more my heart settled down. And then, I decided to get my license, and over the years, blown through some pretty nasty weather. But this is how I see Pastor Father James teaching. And as you've already heard more times than you need to be refreshed, that shortly after he finished the book, he was martyred. I have a personal sense that, like the Apostle Paul, that I think James probably knew his time was coming. And if you put those glasses on, to me, I can understand the book of James better. Martin Luther, who you know was kind of the father, the founder of the Protestant faith, said of of the book, he said, "It's a right strawy book." And it is a right strawy book because he's a man on a mission. And it's not written like the Psalms. He doesn't have the time to be poetic. It's not even written like Proverbs, where he has kind of time to impart wisdom. He's a man on a mission. He's got some points to underscore. And he's got some great pictures and analogies he uses. And matter of fact, I appreciate when Amy was teaching on the tongue. Sometimes I'm reading it and I'm going, all right, we got it. But we didn't got it because he just kept going and going. You know, he compared how we can put a bridle in a horse's mouth to get him to turn his head, how we can start a fire with just a little flame, how a rudder will turn a huge ship in a storm. It was important to him that we get this. So it's almost like he's underscoring some last things he wants you to understand. And so I try to put myself in his sandals, as it were, And I thought to myself, if I were a dad, and I just got, I am a dad, I'm a granddad too, but if I just got the word that I had 6 months left, or 3 months left, and I wanted to write a letter to my family, I would get choked up just thinking about it. So if I wanted to write a letter to my daughters and my sons and my grandchildren, it would be a right straw book. Because I'm just going to cut to the chase. Kids, this is what's important in your Christian life. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. This is how you learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. So even as I'm talking this morning, I'm checking some things off. I decide I'm going to do this James style. And because the book of James is very organized, as you probably already know. But I've come to appreciate right straw teaching. As a matter of fact, I like it a lot. So if you put up that first scripture, we're going to look at the first couple of verses in the book of James. It says, my brethren, this is verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The next verse, please. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I'm not a bookkeeper. Praise the Lord, I'm not a bookkeeper. I know you have to have bookkeepers. I married a bookkeeper. We have 3 bookkeepers in our office, but I'm not one. Sarah Russell, one of our bookkeepers, came out to me a couple of weeks ago, and she had a list of charges on my corporate credit card. She said, hey, can you tell me what this was for? And she says, you took something to the dump on this date. They don't give you receipts up there. I go, and I'm going to be smart. And I said, let me just go think about it. Fortunately, I went and prayed. I said, Lord, I don't have a clue what this was. Well, it was a dump where you did some volunteer work for the county fair so the buildings didn't fall down. And I was so proud of myself. I kind of swaggered into her office. And she goes, oh, okay, thanks. I don't know if I was expecting a clap or an applause or something like that. But anyway, I'm not a bookkeeper. And so when I hear this scripture, count it all joy when you find yourself in various trials, I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's something wrong here. This does not equate. There's something incongruent about these two. You don't take trials and put them in the count it all joy column. I take trials and put it into, oh my goodness, are you kidding me, trial? Or, Lord, what on earth is going on here, column? I can put it in a lot of columns, but I don't naturally put it into count it all joy column. So in James fashion, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to have some kind of a visual, some kind of a example to share because I want us to get this. Because we can just say, count it all joy when you fall in various trials. But I want you know, sometimes information and education goes a long way in helping us make decisions and motivation. So if you would put that first slide up there. I'm a builder, a missionary carpenter type. These are I-beams. This is how they make the structural pieces for large skyscrapers. And what I found, very interesting what I found, they'll take liquid, they'll take iron, and they'll smelt it and skim off the slag and stuff like that. They put some additives in it. And then they'll extrude it into this shape. It's an I shape. And then they'll, when it's extruded, turns out that this I beam is very brittle, and it's not that strong because it has little micro fissures in it. So if, I don't know how they do that, but if you look into this structure of this steel, so what they do. They put it, they heat it up to almost 1,200 degrees, and they call it tempering. And then they bring it out, and they'll cool it off slowly. What this does, it changes the molecular structure of this beam, and it eliminates these little micro stress cracks. Not only that, somehow it rearranges these molecules into little chains or threads. And guess what? Now this beam is actually stronger and more flexible. Where do you think we're going to go with this analogy? You see, God says, count it all joy when I put you in the furnace. How many of you have been around long enough to know that God may have a furnace trip or two waiting for you? And if you think you can avoid it, if you think you can outmaneuver the Lord, Bob Mumford, a pastor and teacher of years gone by, puts it this way. He says, if God fixes a fix to fix you, and you fix the fix, he will fix another fix to get you fixed. Does that say something about the faith? We're just singing about the faithfulness of God. Listen, if he gets you in his crosshairs, are any math school teachers here this morning? I have a question for Brenda later. What's the shortest distance between two points? It's a straight line. Listen, if God gets you in his crosshairs and he has a trip through the furnace for you because he knows there's some micro fissures in your character and that you need to be stronger and more flexible. They call it patience in the scripture, but that's what patience does for us. If we submit to it, if we fight it, it won't work for us. But the shortest distance between two points is just to cooperate. And yeah, I know, I don't like that either. But so this is what we're learning to do. The Father's got, by the way, he's got X-ray vision. Did you know that? Superman's not the only one. The Father has X-ray vision, and he can see your cracks, Bill. He can see those things inside of us. And he doesn't try and get it all done at once, but he'll take us a little at a time. Matter of fact, he told me last year, just sharing my own experience, he says, I want to take you to another level of controlling your tongue. Oh, man, I like being a wise guy. I like humor. And he wasn't eliminating that, but he said, listen, I want you to think seriously about your tongue because the teaching earlier in the book or in the letter is it's important what comes out of our mouths. It's not just words. Have you been around long enough in the body of Christ to know it's not just words that come out of your mouth? It's life or death that comes out of your mouth. You're going to project that. Anyway, so he said, I have a little furnace. He didn't use that, but what he meant was he have a little furnace time for you. With your name on it. And so we're going to work together on this thing. And I decided it's easier to cooperate than to kick back. But here are some of the excuses you might have heard over the years. Well, I'm just a strong personality. That's who I am. This isn't anger you're looking at. It's righteous indignation. I don't need to pray about everything because I've learned how to plan well. There are a lot of ways to avoid or try to avoid or try to make excuses when God wants. How many of you, I keep saying how many of you know, I apologize for that. When you came into the family of God, hopefully you were told that your sins were forgiven, that your name is written in the book of life, you're on your way to heaven, and there are some experiences ahead for you that look more like a furnace because he's trying to mold us into the shape of his number one son, right? And that's what it says, we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's where we're heading. And if you didn't get that when you came to Christ, you got shorted, maybe you can get your money back, maybe not. But it's purposeful. That's what I wanted to say. It's purposeful. God's trip through the furnace. Oh, and now I want to, and so how do we do this? And that's what I was going to ask Brenda. I'm hanging out here because I'm hoping I know her answer. So, Brenda, I don't know how they're teaching it now, but when you were in elementary school, how did you learn the times tables? That was close. It could have been, I have no idea how they're doing it. Thank you very much. So you learn by heart, by mouth. And that's how we handle, count it all joy. Because it doesn't come natural, right? It doesn't come natural when persecution comes. When, hey, I should have got that promotion, I didn't get that promotion. So we count it all joy intentionally. So when we get the when a report comes in from your doctor that doesn't look good, when you didn't get the contract you were hoping and counting on, you have to put it in the right column. And we do that. We teach ourselves to put these things. If you're not a talker, it's a good time to start learning how to talk to yourself. I found it to be very strengthening and keeps me corrected. I can correct myself. If I find myself even thinking something that's not right about a person, I stop myself, I ask the Lord to forgive me, and then I pray for that person and ask a blessing for that person. I don't want to get stuck in this thing that I can't manage my thoughts. So here's how we begin to count it all joy. So when this happens, God didn't supply and they foreclosed on my house. Where were you at, God? The company downsized after 18 years and I lost all my retirement. I was praying for my wife for the whole year. Everybody was praying for her and she died. Where were you? My husband was healthy, strong, young, and in his prime. And he's gone. Where was your promise? Father James says, count it all joy and let the fire do its perfect work. Listen, this doesn't mean that we become passive. We still are called to stand against, to claim promises that he's given us. And to stand against our enemies with the words that he's given us. What we don't want to do is make God our enemy. We don't want to have an issue with our Creator. We don't want to become offended with God. Now, the reason I mention this is because we're going to tie this together with the scripture at the end. But let me talk to guys, especially most, you know, ladies, your guys don't normally talk to themselves. They don't sing. They're not that vocal. But guys, this is a good discipline for you to begin to learn. It's not complicated. You can do it together with your wife. I recommend it. State the situation, Lord. This is what's going on in our life. We don't know, but it's starting to look like this might be a trip through the furnace. This might look like something more than just an incident. But we know that you are ultimately in control, and he is. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. So even in the fire, we can praise him. And so that's how we begin to do it. We do it we get it into our heart with our mouth. Now for my assignment. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Okay. If we could have that next verse, please, would be great. Those last two. These are the last two verses in the book. Brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We've all seen those that have left the faith. Remember, this letter is written to the church, not to people outside the church. And so we've all seen people that for any number of reasons have wandered, and I use the word wandered, away from the faith. Usually, and not always, but usually, it has something to do with something God has asked you to do that you don't want to do. Something you want to do that God told you, no, you can't do. Or something God doesn't want, but he seems to have promised you, but it's not coming through. These can be underlying areas of taking offense with God, with others, of course, but with God. They can even seem reasonable, but it's a dangerous step, because it talks about one of the translations, if that person has stepped off the path, you know, there's a right path, and it's following hard after God, and then there's another path, and they don't usually take a 90-degree right angle, right? It's usually just a slight variation. And I've found if you tend to nurse something like God didn't do this like he was supposed to, or he didn't fulfill this, that it doesn't go away. It tends to grow and get larger and larger. And pretty soon you have an offense with the Creator. So how do we go and get those people back? Well, I have a secret weapon. But first I want to tell you a story. So there's this little Midwestern town. And in this town there was a town drinker. And everybody knew it. And one night, he was in a tavern, and a tavern was kind of back down an alley off the main street. And the pub was closing, and he was walking out, and the alley was dark, and he fell down in this pit. And now he's stuck down there. He got sheer walls. He can't get out, and he starts yelling, "Help, help, help, somebody! I can't get out of here. I can't get out of here. Somebody help me." And there was a baker walking by. He gets up early in the morning to start baking for the day. And so he turned and walked up the alley, and he looked down the pit and said, "What are you doing down there?" And the guy said, "Listen, I fell down here accidentally and I can't get out." And all of a sudden this guy flatfoots and just jumps down in the pit with him. The town drinker said, "You fool, now we're both down here." He said, "That's right, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out." I'm going to say it again. I've been down here before, and I know the way out. Everybody needs somebody who will share with them that they've been down there before, and God's helped them out. Anybody ever been down in one of those? Come on. Anybody ever been down in one of those? And God helped you out? That's our secret weapon. It takes more, but I'm going to tell you, it takes courage. It takes courage to share your own weakness. See, I want all my sins and all my weaknesses to be behind me. And so when somebody has stepped off the way, I'll just want to go tap on their chest and say, "You got to shape up. You're on your way to the dark side here, brother." But guess what? That doesn't work most of the time. But here's what works. Here's a story. As a story out of, I asked Stephanie if I could have permission to share this story, and she gave me permission. So we'd been married a very short time, maybe just a number of months. And we were learning how to do life together, and we were getting ready, preparing for a life group that we had that night, and we were going to have a meal. I'd come home from work, and we're standing in the kitchen, and as you might expect on a night you're going to go to church, before you know it, we were kind of in an argument, a good one. And I was drinking a glass of water, and I just took that glass, and I just slammed it on the floor. And it just blew out all over the floor. Well, I looked at Stephanie, and her eyes were like this big around. And tears were starting to come down. Well, I tidied things up, and we got in the car. It was very quiet driving to the prayer meeting that night. I don't think we said anything to each other in the car. We got to the prayer meeting and had the potluck, and now it was time for the prayer time. And I'm thinking to myself, I got through this one. And we started, it was very quiet, nobody started to pray yet, and all of a sudden, you could hear. Fortunately, the friend that was overseeing the prayer night said, "Steph, are you okay?" and it all came out. And I was able to share with them and say, "Listen, I don't know where this comes from, but I just have this anger thing that just..." Now, you wouldn't notice that to look at me today, right? But it would blindside me. But you know, being open and honest with a weakness, first of all, that was the start of completely seeing that healed. But it's part of being able to recognize and connect with people who may have stepped off the path, may have got offended with God. And this is interesting. Just as I was kind of thinking of how to example this, in the last 3 weeks, the last 2 weeks, I've had three opportunities to share out of a weakness, out of a time in the pit. Not the same one that I just shared with you. And they just came to me. But I could say, you know what? I've been down that place before. And I know how to get out. Jesus will get you out. I'll say it again. Jesus will get you out if you'll... And so I just want to commission us afresh. If you think, well, I'm done with ministry, I'm retired now, I would encourage you to remind yourself of those failures. Just when I say remind yourself, take some time and go back and take a look at who you were and how you reacted. So you're ready, you're authentically ready. And I promise you, the opportunity will come, especially if you pray, Lord, because we all know people that have either stepped out or we don't see anymore, or all of a sudden they're angry with God, but we don't know why. If we can step and we can put ourselves in their shoes, and they can go, whoa. And is that, believe it or not, there's a name for that. It's called witness authority. How cool is that? It's like, I've been there. God's proved himself faithful. And you can too. Now, one tiny little more story. It's interesting. The time is great. I told the Lord, I felt like you wanted me to tell one more little story. And I said, I will if I have time. So I said, I've just got a couple of minutes. And so it's got nothing to do with our message, by the way. Henry Ford, years ago, was just starting to build Ford manufacturing factories. And he built a large one in Michigan. And it was outside of town, a lot of property. And so they couldn't get power from the city out. So he had this big monster generator built to power the whole system. And so it worked great for a while. And all of a sudden, it stopped producing electricity. Now the whole plant is shut down. Now he's got electricians, he's got electrical engineers, and they work on it. They can't figure it out. But they hear that there's a brilliant electrical engineer in the town and that they should invite him out. So they did. They brought him out and explained the situation. He said, okay, he said, I'm going to need a pencil, a tablet, and a cot. I know they thought that was kind of weird. I think that's kind of weird. So they did that, and he set the cot up at the base. Again, this was a monster generator with these metal panels all around it. And he, for 2 days, he sat on this cot listening to the generator. At the end of 2 days, he called the engineers and said, okay, now I need you to bring me a ladder and a piece of chalk. They brought him a ladder and a piece of chalk, and he took the ladder, and he walked over, and he put it up on the generator. He walked up with a piece of chalk, and he put an X on this one panel. And he says, take that panel off and rewire diodes 17, 18, and 19, and this thing will work. He left. Well, doggone. They went up, they took the panel off, they rewired these things, and they start producing electricity again. About 2 weeks later, the invoice comes from this gentleman, and they give it to Mr. Ford because it was for $10,000. And, you know, that many years ago, that's a lot of money. So he wrote a little note and sent it back with the invoice and said, don't you think this is a little out of line for 2 days of tinkering? A couple of days later, a new invoice came. Chalk, $1. Knowing where to put the X, $9,999. Now, the reason I tell you that is because at the end of every service, we have an opportunity for you to get prayed for up here. The people that are here to pray for you, Greg and Gloria, they have gifts from God. Gloria gets pictures, and Greg's able to add wisdom to that. There are a number of spiritual gifts that are available for you up here. And they're not casual. They're very serious about it. Now, you may come up thinking you know what your problem is, and they may put the X somewhere else. But the Holy Spirit will be directing them. So I just want you to ongoing take advantage of that gift that's available. And let me just, you want to pray, Pastor Matt?
You know, in baseball, the guy who bats last is called does cleanup. Did pretty well. Cleaning up, huh? Yeah, good. Hey, as we pray, we all know people who have wandered from the path. You have some people in your mind, probably, that have wandered from the path. And you want to see them get back on the path. So take a moment here. And I'm going to pray, but you pray. Pray for them by name. Whoever they happen to be. Lord, that you just grab a hold of them and you'd pull them right back onto the path. And because God loves putting people back on the path. Think about how many parables, the prodigal son, and, you know, all the parables are about bringing the person back. Father, we pray right now for people that we are aware of, kids, grandkids, parents, siblings, people who used to be people we worked with, who are maybe people we went to church with somewhere, and people from our college years that walked away from you. They lost a spouse, they lost a kid, they lost a business, whatever it happens to be, life didn't turn out the way they anticipated, and they walked away from you. And Father, we pray by name right now for people and ask that you'd grab a hold of them and you'd pull on them, Jesus. You'd pull on them by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray for Tim, Father, today, that you would touch Tim by the power of your Holy Spirit. You'd grab a hold of him, and you'd pull him back, Father. You would remind him of things you did when he was a young man, when he was a kid. You'd remind him, and you'd remind him of your faithfulness and your goodness. You would wrestle with him about all the things that have gotten in the way of him walking with you. And, Lord, you'd pull him back to the path. And Lord, at the right time, in the right way, me and others that know people, Lord, you would help us to get down in the hole and show someone the way out that we can bring them back to the place where they're walking with you. Bless you, Father. There's people in this room that walked away and they've walked back or they're on their journey back. Lord, they bless you today for doing, being so patient with them to bring them back. And we pray, Father, just settle them in. Settle them back into to walking with you and the way you want them to live and the way you want them to have relationships with people who are going to encourage them. So, God, continue to do your work. We pray for those that are online, folks that are going to listen this week. People, I meet people all the time in the community that say, oh, I watched, you know, your service on Sunday. Lord, we pray, grab a hold of people that have walked away and bring them back, Father. Bring the prodigal son. Bring the prodigal daughter. Bring the prodigal dad, the prodigal grandpa. Bring them back, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. So thanks for what you're going to do. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.